So he said, they that are Christ, that is we that have said we have Christ or we belong to Christ, say we must crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. With the affections and lusts. Amen. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. I'm still on that emotion part because that seems to be the biggest. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. Let me just give you some of those Bible verses so that we, like we exalted the word of God last week. This is continuation. And the word of God is really our weapon in this thing we are talking about. It's our shield. It says that every word of God is pure. And it's a shield to them that put their trust in it. So this word of God is what you're going to use. If you can remind yourself of these Bible verses when the emotion comes, remind yourself of the Bible verses. Because this is, think of it this way. Think of the emotion as a temptation. It's a temptation. Satan came against the Lord Jesus Christ and tempted him. And what was the weapon the Lord Jesus used against Satan? The word of God. He said, it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, because he's telling him to do something. Whether it comes to your mind, don't you hear what that woman said? Don't you hear what that man said to you? Respond! And that rage is wanting to respond hotly, bitterly. That's the temptation. And Jesus Christ was giving the same thing. He said he was tempted in all areas, just like you and me, but without sin. So then you remember, what did he use? The word of God. Get this word into your heart. Try to remember it and quote it. Quote it first to yourself and then quote it to the air, to the thought that came to you, to the devil that is whispering it. It is written. Even if it's going to be a soft answer, turn it away wrath. Remind yourself of it. It is written. A soft answer, turn it away wrath. And grievous words, star of anger. If you remind yourself of that, then control your emotions and give a soft answer. Amen? Amen? Proverbs chapter 7, verse 17, verse 28, that I say we should read. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. Said what? So even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. That is, even if you are a fool, but this time you control your emotion. You keep your mouth shut. So they'll be thinking you are a wise person. Say, well, I can't handle it. I just can't bear it. Even a fool, if you will hold your peace, you'll be counted wise. If you shut your lips, you'll be esteemed a man of understanding. Another Bible verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. The words of our Lord Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 5 verse 39. Now you say, well, this is not easy to do. I know it's not easy, but the Lord Jesus Christ said we should be able to do it by the Holy Ghost. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Well, this look like, oh, those are for them in those days. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave the word, we have to strive to enter in, strive to be like Christ. Amen? Amen. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. You can just jot those Bible verses down and meditate on them. So that when the situation arises, you have some weapons. These are our weapons. This is the word of God. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. So all of these are talking of emotion, which is our own spirit, ruling over you, over yourself. See, some of little kids, you are in school, your friends wanted to make you start a fight. You say, well, that boy is a bully. Don't take it from him. You want to be like Christ, though. Amen. You want to be like Christ. Rule over your own spirit. I remember when I was growing up, I was in high school. I was one of the small boys. Say, you are small, brother. You know, yes, I was small, one of the small boys. And we have some bigger boys. They like to be bullied. Somehow they kind of respected this small boy. I don't know why. They just respected me. And I came to realize that maybe because I was smart in the in the education. So they kind of gave me some respect. But that doesn't mean they won't try to do it. So you can still get some respect if you will be a child of God. Somebody said, you know, I fear this boy. They can fear you without you being strong. So what I'm saying is the type of fear that Jacob in the Bible said, he was swearing by the fear of Isaac his father. Because there will be something upon you that make people to just fear or respect you. Not by your muscular strength, but because God is upon you. That is for you kids. Walk with God and God will put your fear upon those bullies. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. Still talking about the emotional control. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. Now, this is one of the things that is recommended. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, this is one thing you should try to get. Apostle Paul is saying that when you speak in an unknown tongue, you are edifying yourself. So one of the good things you can do to control yourself is by speaking in tongues. Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, pray for it. When you are baptized in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost come upon you, what do you think the Holy Ghost wants to take control of first? Your tongue. That one that wants to smite that fellow with your lashing words. Because of the self-control that's missing. The emotions. So the Holy Ghost wants to control that tongue first. So that you can control the whole emotional part. So, but speaking in tongues is to pacify. That's why Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. That is that prophesy edify the church. So try to speak in tongues in prayer in your house. Do it regularly. Regularly, as often as you can. That will calm your spirit down also. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31. So I'm only giving you some Bible verses on how to self-control your own emotion. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31. Now he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So when you look at that step by step, as I had a preacher say, that what you see on that screen there, they are progressions of emotional rage. Started from this, from bitterness that has been deep inside you because of something somebody has done that you have not forgiven long time ago. It's there, and if you have not casted it out, begin to become wrath. It's like starting a fire. Starting a fire. That's why you don't want to allow bitterness to stay in you. From that wrath, it's going to go into anger. If a wrath is still like not hot coal, hidden somewhere, but it's a hot coal of fire. There's no flame yet. That is the wrath. But it comes because there was a bitterness you refused to let go. Then from anger, it's going to start clamor. Clamor is when people now are beating one another. See, we want to quench it or get rid of the bitterness. Remember. 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 Don't allow bitterness. We're going to do what? Marriage seminar today, maybe. It's a good thing for us to remind ourselves. Don't allow the bitterness of 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, last week, to stay there, because it's going to, as long as it's still there, very soon somebody will see something, it started there off. And that will generate into anger. Then clamor. That's when they're now beating into one another. Then evil speaking. Let's say you keep your peace, but the evil speaker begins to come. What is evil speaking? verbal words, verbal abuse, that's what you call evil speaking. It's progression. And then what is malice? Now that is when the devil says, do something to hurt him or her. That is the malice. It's progression. But you want to get the root out of it, bitterness. Your root of bitterness, cut it off, pull it out of you, because these are all the elements of this emotion that have not been self-controlled by the Holy Ghost. Remember that. Amen. Now, I dwell more on that because most of the time that is where the saints of God still have some lacks. Then I'm going to go to the next, because these are also necessary. Say, in all areas of our life, we need to self-control. Food appetite is also something you need to control. Food appetite. Let me give you some Bible verses. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17. You know, a lot of people in America want to control their weight. They want to reduce their weight or so, but it could be food appetite they need to control. Proverbs 21, verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Telling you what you may run into if you don't control your food appetite. Proverbs 23, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 21. Here the wise man said, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now the glutton is the one that couldn't control how much meat he consumes. Well, it's still appetite control of food. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 1 to 3. Say, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what he is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. So his church is telling you that plan to be able to control how much you consume, whether it is free, so it's so plenty. I remember when we came to this country, what happened? We were introduced to King's Table. I know some of my friends are here. King's Table, and we say, well, we never see this in Africa, where you pay a fixed amount and you can eat all you can eat for the rest of the day. And you can see people just pack the place with food and food and food, and we feel and say, I'm not coming until tomorrow. Let me just fill my belly. But that they call it King's Table. Okay? So we ate like kings for a fixed price. But Solomon was giving us wisdom. He said, if you are invited by a king to their place and you see all these dainties, say, put a knife to your throat. Self-control. That's what he's telling us there. He said they are deceitful meat. Now, why do we need to control our food appetite? Well, suppose the Lord asks you to fast. If you cannot control this food appetite, it's going to be very difficult to fast. Say, well, I don't need to fast. I was a preacher that said, we don't need to fast, we just need to be obedient. But fasting can help you to be obedient. Remember that. So that's why food appetite needs to be, is part of what you need to control in your life. Now let me go to the next one, because I'm going to wrap it up in 30 minutes. Now, I've written this on that faith, rapturing faith series, because this is part of what you need for the rapture. This self-control is what we individually we need for the rapture. Because God, as we are going to go with, is going to lead us. And the Bible, there was a prophecy, I think Brad Frisbee prophesied on that. So that by the time the Lord is going to come down to take the sins away, the cloud of God's presence is going to descend and rest upon these individual living stones. And instructions from that cloud will be directing individual living stones. Like Elijah the prophet, he said, Elisha, stay here, the Lord has led me to Bethel. He was hearing instruction. Now, those are instructions that it takes self-control to obey, because sometimes the instructions just don't gear with your flesh. But if you have the self-control already perfected, you will do it. But if you have not been perfected self-control, you will not be able to obey instruction. So that is one of the reasons why we are talking about this. Along with the fact that when you have the self-control, you have peace in your family, you have peace one with another, as the Bible commands us. That includes everything, self-control in all things, like we read in the first verse, we read in 1 Corinthians. Okay, now the next one I want, Proverbs chapter 13 verse 25, you can write that one down, Proverbs 13 verse 25, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 12, and then Romans chapter 8, those are all talking about food, appetite and so on. Let me go to the next thing that I believe we need to self-control. Sexual appetite for the people that are married. Even those that are not married, they better keep away from any sexual immorality. But that's another appetite. People think, well, now that I'm married, I can just do it at all, anytime I like, every time I like. But see, that's an appetite also that must be self-controlled. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34. Open to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34. There, Apostle Paul said, there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. Your married woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married, careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. He said, but this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attain upon the Lord without distraction. In short, you need to also stay self-control. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 to 5, you can read that one also, saying when he said, let the husband render to the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife to the husband due benevolence, still self-control, controlling your relationship. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, God commanded her and said, have dominion, subdue the earth, but those are all still part of self-control. Genesis chapter 5 verse 22. Genesis chapter 5 verse 22. That is the key thing I'm going to give to you here, is Genesis chapter 5 verse 22. That has to do with the translation and the rapture. We wanted to go and meet the Lord in the air. If you have this hope in yourself, if you have this hope, you want to be one of them that will come to the height to go and meet the Lord in the air. Listen to Genesis chapter 5 verse 22. And he said, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Well, the light the Lord showed to me on that double verse, you can underline after. After he begat Methuselah and begat sons and daughters. Which means he started to self-control in that area because he had instruction from the Lord how to keep himself for the anointing. For the anointing. So you will have to go and read my book on that self-control thing. I won't be able to go into detail of that. But Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah, that is, after he has gotten all the children, now he wanted to make himself available for the Lord, and he started walking with the Lord seriously. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 3 to 5. And then you can read the book of Leviticus, chapter 15, verse 16, verse 18, verse 25, verse 28. Those are all talking about sexual appetite, self-control, which you can meditate on later. But the summary of it all is what? You must self-control. Temperance in all things. We say we want to be like Christ. See, they that run, let me wrap it up with that verse we started with. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Like Apostle Paul said, they that run in a race, they run all. So many of them run in the race. He said, but one is going to receive the prize. Are you running to win? And the question is, what is this race? The race is to please the Lord and be like Enoch of old that disappeared without seeing physical death. Or please the Lord and stand before him at the end, he wiping away all tears from our eyes that we overcame. Apostle Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race, they run all, but one receiveth the prize. Say, run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. So we want to be able to self-control ourselves to be able to win this race in all things. And he said, I also am running. Verse 27, he said, I keep under my body. So you now see how many things you need to keep your body under. For the emotion, which is always plaguing us since, emotion. We are easily plagued by that. Before you know it, you are responding when you say, I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to keep mute. I'm just going to bear it. I'm going to bear it. And very soon, you just couldn't bear it anymore. You're going to respond and become striving. And the Bible said, the servant of God, which you and I are, must not strive. The servant of God must not strive, but gentle towards all men, with aptitude to teach. And that our life should be what? Witnessing for Jesus. So that when people see you, they say, this is a believer in this. This is a servant of God. This is a disciple of Christ. In our attitude towards one another, in our words. So let your word be full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer back. A soft answer turneth away wrath. This emotional control, we need to put it under, to have dominion over that as saints. Remember, saints. Amen? Saints of the Most High God, ye are called to be saints. I am called to be saint of God. So we must have control over ourselves. And to summarize with what the Lord Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said, blessed is he that keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they see his shame. What Christ was talking about there is, we are clothed with the righteousness. We are filthy human beings. We are actually filthy, but he clothed us with his own righteousness. But if you take that garment of righteousness off, you will see, oh, it's just like us. It's just like us. That is, unbeliever will say, it's just like us. Because the garment of righteousness has been taken off. If somebody see you fighting in the grocery store with the cashier, what will they say? It's just like everybody else. You can't say, I'm a Christian. Say, oh no, are you? So that's what we are saying. He said, blessed is he that keepeth his garments, lest you be found naked. And human beings, people see your shame. The shame is, oh, we thought he's a believer. We thought he's a Christian. He's doing just the same thing like everybody else. Fighting, striving, just like everybody say, keep your garment, that righteousness, that holiness, lest you be found naked and see your shame. Let's stand to our feet. Don't clap, we're going to pray. Don't clap. You can clap for Jesus, but say, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying we need to be sober and ask for the Lord to touch you. Ask for the Lord to touch you, because this is not a sweet sermon to just say, oh, nice words. No, you should search your heart and say, hey Lord, I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to move closer and closer to that perfection. That is our goal. I want to move closer and closer to that perfection where I will have that self-control already. That is already settled. I don't have problem with that. Self-control of emotion, oh, I have no problem with that. Self-control of sexual appetite, I have no problem with that. Self-control of food appetite, I have no problem with that. Well, what is the next? Maybe I need goodness. I need to have more goodness. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, faith. Maybe, oh yeah, I have no problem with it. Maybe I need more faith. So let's see that we actually get that self-control dealt with. Let's pray. Pray for yourself right now. So that you can say, I have no problem with self-control now. I've already put that under control. You never see me striving with my neighbor or with my spouse. Let's put that under control completely. Pray right now. Pray for yourself. Now, don't try to say, well, I don't think I have that problem. If the devil zero in on you, that's what you're talking about. Let's say Satan wants to zero in on you to bring fight, to bring war, to bring strife, to bring somebody that you don't know, just throw stones at you. Will you be able to stand and still be a believer? Or you are going to say, this is enough, I'm going to let him have it. So that is where that self-control can be tested. Pray for the grace. That Lord, give me that grace to be able to overcome my flesh. That's overcoming yourself. Self-control is overcoming your own flesh in all the areas we just mentioned, emotions. Appetite of food, appetite of sexual appetite, appetite of everything, rage, strife. We want to conquer our flesh because that's the last enemy. Our own flesh must be conquered. Our mind must be conquered, subdued. He said, after I've preached to others, after I've been a witness, I shouldn't be a castaway. Talk to Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. Let this world, let it be in us. Let it make us to be sober, to think deep, so that when the enemy comes to zero in on us, we are not going to bulge, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, because you are good and your mercy endures forevermore. You will not allow us to be tempted above our strength, but with the temptation you will make a way of escape, as your word has said. Thank you, Jesus. We trust in our Lord God. We trust indeed that you are able to keep us to the uttermost. He is able to save us to the uttermost. We that have put our trust in him. So put your trust in him and he will save you to the uttermost.
Now praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adewumi inviting you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are a Christian that has been listening to this radio broadcast, I challenge you and I urge you to aspire to the goal of overcomers. Be zealous for more of God. Ask the Lord to increase your faith, to build you up spiritually, and pray for the gifts of the Holy Ghost to increase and intensify in you, so that you can come to the stature, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is our goal as believers. Now, if you that is listening to me, you are not a Christian, or you are just a church member, you are a church goer, trying to do good, but you are not really born again. You don't even know what it means to be born again. You are not sure whether you have been washed from your sins. I invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. And I want to pray for you right now so that you can be assured of your salvation and so that your heart and your faith and your spirit can begin to believe the Word of God. The Word of God specifically says, anyone that believes in me, anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has eternal life. You have got to believe that utterance of Jesus. And then invite Jesus to come out, take over your life. Because he gives a power into the believers that he calls being born again. And it is this power that rejuvenates us from within that makes us to be a new creature in Christ. The Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12. Father, I pray for all the people that are listening. Help them, Lord Jesus Christ, to begin to follow the word of God, to begin to read the scriptures and to understand and obey it. And let them be filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want you to write to me and I will send you some literature that will be edifying to you.
Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org.
send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.